this week you find us in a suburban park in Manchester, actually. Anna's still not feeling that great, but I brought her to a special date where we are now, unfortunately, staring at the rear end of two goats.
I mean,
I've taken you some places.
You bought me a cup of tea, though.
Bought her a cup of tea. Thought that might help, because she's still not great. But, yeah, basically, there's two goats here. I know one's called Gandalf.
Do you know what? I love a goat. Oh, he's a sneezing goat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bless him. And there's some swans, and there's some ducks, and there's some rabbits. Oh, yep. It's all going on, isn't it?
I brought her to Pets Corner in one of my favourite local parks in South Manchester. And, well, the goat's not really interested. I'm sorry about that. I thought sometimes with me, they come over and say hello.
Say hello, yeah.
I thought so, yeah.
No, not so, interested in me.
So, in the spirit of taking Anna out on these romantic dates and doing the podcast in beautiful
romantic
locations.
Places.
Yeah, bunny rabbits and goats. That yes. was what I was aiming. But we shall walk and talk around the corner.
Shall we? What should we walk and talk about?
Well, today you have clicked on this episode, dear listener. Which is why sleep matters. And it's one of these things that probably isn't talked about a lot necessarily in group, but something that I, and I know many of you, we've talked about, because quite a lot of us are shift workers.
Yeah.
Or our mothers.
Yes.
And sleep, funny enough, it doesn't matter who you are, what your job is, we always want more of it and we want better.
Yes.
And it's been when you get to the point where sometimes you're stuck on your journey and you feel like your diary is on point and that your body magic is upped, then you start to look at the kind of periphery and think, but what else could it be?
Yeah.
And it sent me on a bit of a journey over the last 6 months when I started to see my weight loss lull. What else could it be? Could it be sleep? Now,
yes.
We're just going to turn a corner here. This is the community allotments.
Oh, how lovely.
Which used to belong to a fella called John Rylands, who... The library man, yeah. This
oh,
used
wow.
to be his grounds. Okay. And often we see people play bowls here.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's a lawnmower and allotments where they grow their own. Because there's that lawnmower, it's probably not the best place for us to sit.
Yeah,
so let's walk around the corner.
Not.
A lovely greenhouse. We're just walking through a rose arch.
Oh, wait, I feel like this would be a really romantic
place.
This
is a proper place. Date, isn't
it? Yeah. Isn't it, darling? So, yeah, sleep. Very interesting. We, at Slimming World, at the head office, they have done a lot of research into sleep with our nutrition team, with kind of looking at how it could impact us. And actually, there's an article that is on the website that is in all groups. It's called Snooze More, Lose More. You may have seen it floating around.
No, I hadn't, right?
Hadn't you?
I hadn't. And when I kind of Googled a bit, I saw some articles that Slimming World had published in some stuff on online newspapers. But also, for me, I'm a Fitbit user.
Right.
And
other popular brands of monitoring your activity exists.
Well, one of the things that if you are monitoring your body magic when you wear your Fitbit or whatever it is to bed, you can even do it with smartphones.
Right to bed?
Yeah. And it actually calculates you and give you a bit of sleep score. But it delves into how much... There's three different types of sleep, isn't there? There's deep sleep, there's light sleep, there's REM sleep. And all the different
four types. I've got no sleep.
Yeah, there is that bit too, actually.
Yeah.
It does calculate your awake time. So when we sit down in a second, I'll kind of recap some of the stuff that I learned about why you need those different parts. And also different hormones that are affected
yes.
when you don't get sleep. So, I mean, you know, I love a good stat. I loved in the...
Are you a journalist?
Yeah, but that's not that. I'm just a geek.
Oh, you always loved a stat.
Geek first, journalist second.
Really?
But I just like to understand the science behind this, because sometimes when you are struggling with sleep and you are struggling with weight loss, it's hard to get caught up in that vicious cycle of, but I'm not losing the weight, but I can't sleep anymore, but I'm not losing the weight. Ah!
Yeah.
And then you go a little bit insane. So when you break it down and start to look at the research and the science behind it, it just starts to help it feel a little bit more manageable.
And I think when you understand, for me, I always think about knowledge of power as power. And when I can understand why something's happening or isn't happening, it almost gives me a little bit of comfort.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So would you like to sit in the sun or in the shade?
Sun? Quite clearly. I'm a sun worshipper.
Okay, right.
You don't get wrinkles like this at 38, loving the sun.
That's really... That's not something to promote. Yeah,
exactly. But the fact we're in Manchester and it's, what, September and we're in the sun.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Just about holding on to the end of September and it's sunny.
Yes, totally.
Right. Sit down here. Never sat at this bench before.
Can I ask you a few questions?
I like the way you sit straight in the middle of the bench. Like, yeah. I mean, are you trying to push me to sit on the bird poo?
Where's the bird poo?
The bird poo's there.
Right, let me ask you a couple of questions.
That was so selfish of you.
I didn't even think, sorry.
You just basically sat in the middle of it.
Your ass isn't that big, love.
Yeah. It's so cheeky. Right, Alan, I've got to take my bag off, so forgive me for a bit of noise.
Let's ask you some questions. Do you sleep for fewer than 7 hours per night most nights?
Yeah.
Do you feel tired all the time?
Yeah.
Do you find it hard to wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
Struggle to find the energy to do any physical activity?
Yeah.
Stay up late, a lot working, socialising or watching TV?
Yeah.
Toss and turn or wake frequently during the night?
It sounds like one of these adverts on daytime television.
Yes.
Do you sleep for fewer than 7 hours per night most nights?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then your sleep pattern may be sabotaging your slimming success.
Right, I mean, it's not rocket science, is it? If you're not sleeping enough, it's not going to help if you're losing weight. I mean... That's the bottom line of it.
But you know what? Your mate...
Or but it's
your
weight, the impact.
Yeah, but your weight might be maybe affecting your sleep. Have you ever thought about that?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So do you know when you're overweight, you may need to wee more, you may be snoring more, you may be having depression, sweating, and being comfort, discomfort or pain. So that may make you wake more. We did a survey at Slimming World, and over 40% of members said their quality of sleep had impacted their weight. 9 out of 10 saying that a poor night's sleep had impacted on the things they want and don't want to eat or do the following day.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the truth, isn't it? One of the things that I kind of looked, comparing the stuff over with Fitbit as well, like the impact if you're having 5 hours or less sleep per night... it was quite dramatic because you're not getting these things like the REM and the deep sleep.
Yeah.
And it does affect your food choices.
Well, just some basic things. You know, tiredness affects your food choices. So 2/3 of people said they ate more chocolate or sweets when they were short on sleep, while 1/3 were drawn to crisps and salty snacks. Another thing was 36% of the members asked found that they were far less likely to cook from scratch if they were tired, and much less likely, well, half, to be active.
So it's a vicious cycle,
yeah,
is basically what we're saying. And if you have your trigger, if one of your triggers is a lack of sleep when you kind of go through and look at your SAS logs and all that kind of stuff, then this is going to be a key one then.
Yeah, well, we have... the Slimming World head of nutrition is called Dr. Jackie Levin. She's an amazing lady. And she says that why does lack of sleep scupper your slimming? Well, lack of sleep affects the key hormones and neurotransmitters that help regulate appetite. Didn't know that. And the way your body metabolizes fat. Research also shows that poor sleep can stimulate the reward centers in the brain, which can influence the desire for food and mean you get more pleasure from it. Oh, making it doubly hard to resist temptation.
Yeah, see, I kind of looked into some of these hormones. There were two that I've never, ever
Cortisol?
Heard of. No,
oh.
It wasn't those ones. It wasn't the kind of pleasure ones. It was something called leptin, hormone
yeah.
called leptin.
Yeah.
And that is the one that stops you from getting hungry. And staying up basically keeps the leptin level rising, so it means that yeah, your body's kind of it's still telling you that you're hungry when
yeah,
actually
you're not.
You just need to sleep.
Yeah, she also says that when you've not had good quality sleep, you're more likely to be less active, which causes your metabolic rate to slow down, and you're expending less energy, which in turn can slow down your weight loss. Plus, longer, more inactive days give us more opportunity to reach for those high sin snacks. It can become a vicious cycle. You eat more, you do less because you're tired. The more you, your weight goes up, and then you sleep less, and it's just going round and round and round.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of talk about like the fascination of this. As I have kind of done a lot of night shifts in the last year, I've started to kind of look at it in different ways, and it ends up, I mean, for those people who do shift work, and people who have not a lot of sleep, it becomes quite obsessive, doesn't it? And there are things that happen that your body that no one ever talks about, and then until you talk about it, you're like, oh, you have that too. But I really kind of see for my night shifts, they're normally 9 p.m. to about 9 a.m. And the point between about midnight and about 5 a.m., I really have to not eat then, because that is the point where my body is kind of, the metabolism clearly is shutting down. Mm. If I do eat, it just wants to
sleep.
And you start getting cold. And then, and also, like, you don't go to for a wee for hours, because your body's holding on to fluid, any kind, it's storing, it goes into that fat storing mode, because it's like, kind of, something's not right here.
Yeah,
it goes into a bit of panic.
Yeah.
So you, and that's just really from one night shift. So you can see how over a long period of time, I mean, I talk about how I was 1 pound off target a few years ago, and was stuck there, and then went away and put on 6 stone over 2.5 years. And a big part of that was I was getting up about 4 a.m. every day for those 2 years to start work at 5 a.m. And so my sleep was getting less and less and less. And this is where, because your metabolism is slowing, because you're choosing the wrong things, because you're tired, these small little things add up to be this vicious sleep circle, yeah, that we call it.
I found that since I had Daisy, because she's never been a baby that slept, the only way I've managed to do it is to nap in the day. And I know people don't have that luxury, but I have that luxury that when she used to nap, I'd sleep, so I'd have broken sleep throughout the night. But I found the only way I could absolutely get through it and lose weight is by those sleeps in the day.
And that, I think, is really key, because they're busting this myth now everywhere you look, whether it be Fitbit, from some of the sleep coaches that are out there. They're busting the myth that there is this mythical thing that everybody has 8 hours sleep, or should have 8 hours sleep.
My husband functions on 5 most nights.
What I found really interesting when I delved into this, so obviously Fitbit have kind of been, they gather our data, that's just how it is, we're all kind of using it to measure it, and they've got our details, but they have been kind of looking over what the average Fitbit user gets in terms of sleep.
Oh, how interesting.
And this really busted my brains. I was like, what? So most people on average go to sleep about 11:30 at night, and they wake up at 7:15 in the morning.
God,
so that means
that would be a dream.
Yeah, that actually the time that they are sleeping is only 6.5 hours. That's, so it's not 8 hours. The average person is getting 6.5 hours sleep. They're having about 1.5 hours of REM sleep. And light sleep is almost 4 hours, and then about 1 hour of deep sleep. And not everyone does this. I mean, there's no way that I ever have 1 hour of deep sleep. I'm not a deep sleeper at all. But the impact of this, like, REM sleep is the dreaming, really. That's what we know it as. And it comes later on in the, if you're having to get up early, you're probably losing a lot of your REM sleep. And that's the stuff that affects, like, your short-term memory, your cell regeneration, yeah, and your mood. And then the deep sleep normally happens at the start. And the deep sleep is the stuff where you kind of get more like physical processes that are happening, like cell regeneration, human growth hormone secretion. It's where you like to kind of wake up and get that. When you wake up, you feel refreshed. So
yes,
it kind of talks about the different stages and how if you're having 5 hours or less, you're not able to fully get enough of the deep and the REM sleep.
So you're not getting the cycle completed.
And so the different roles that they play. But I thought that was quite interesting to see. Okay, averages, they're only averages, but 6.5 hours. So not 8 hours that people talk about.
No.
And then the other thing that I think is very interesting, if you are a napper like you are, like I was, to get through my shifts, was it tots up. So over the 24-hour period, how much sleep have you had? So
yeah,
you might only have 4 hours at the night, but then in the afternoon, could you get an hour nap?
I can't function without a nap. I literally, because I have such... So last night, well, the night before last, I had 2.5 hours sleep before my child woke up. I was up for the entire day and night. So yesterday I got home from work and I had a 2.5 hour nap. It's the only way I can function.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and do you know what? Maybe part of it is like accepting that make sleep a priority is something that I've been writing in my food diary at the top every week. actually in the evening, what am I actually doing? Can I just put my phone away? Can I go back to reading a fiction book?
Yeah,
not watching
I've started
telly?
To take books to bed. We don't have a TV in our bedroom. We haven't had a TV in our bedroom for about 5 years, so that never
happens. Just go
happens.
To bed.
Yeah, I just
get
into bed.
You said that the other week, didn't you, in boredom meeting.
I just go to bed. I literally read a book, light a candle, just lie in bed and feel the comfort of your bed.
Yeah.
It's just such a nice feeling. I've got some tips that might help you to sleep a bit better. Would you like some?
So, well, we've kind of said about what the impact is, haven't we? So
basically, if you don't sleep very well, it's going to make you crave sugary, fatty, salty foods. It's going to make your metabolic rate slow down. It's going to weaken your choice power. And it's all just going to come into play. You're not going to make the best choices.
No.
So a couple of things that might help with sleep. Did you know, research shows that if a cool bedroom helps slow down brain activity and improve sleep. So making sure your bedroom's not too hot. Interesting.
Yeah.
Black out the light. Even a dim light, smartphone light, TV standby button can inhibit sleep hormones, keep you awake for longer.
Yeah.
See, for me,
I can sleep.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I can sleep with the lights on. Phil has to be pitch black and silence. It's interesting, isn't it? Ban screens from the bedroom. So using screens last thing at night disrupts your body clock.
But it's like even kind of, you know, they kind of say don't use a screen for like
90 minutes,
hour.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cut back on booze. Even a small amount of alcohol can affect your sleep quality. Now, this is the one.
I looked at that actually on my Fitbit. And it just basically meant I wasn't having a lot of dreaming and a lot of deep sleep. It was just all light sleep. So you know how I was saying about that physical regeneration stuff?
Weren't getting it.
It wasn't happening.
Isn't that interesting? Mm. This one blew my mind. Resist the weekend lie-in. So long lie-ins disrupt your sleep cycle, leaving you with that social jet lag on Monday morning.
I get that because, you know, we talk about this thing called sleep debt. And you can't ever kind of
catch up
on your sleep. I mean, that's great, but for me, that doesn't work. And for you,
no.
Because there, when there's no kind of routine to when you sleep, when you don't sleep, when you're on a shift, when you're not on shift. Just get to sleep when you can.
Yeah, and I've learned, actually, that it's better to have consistent sleep. So actually, if I get 3.5 hours consistently, my body can function on that. Mm. But if I got 15 hours and then 2, my body can't deal with it. Also, get physical. Not in that sense. get your body
well,
magic.
Chance will be a fine thing.
I know. Research shows that regular physical activity has a great effect on sleep. Starting step by step, long-term goals, but ultimately 30 minutes a day for 5 days a week would aid your sleep.
I did read that, actually. And another thing that came up was about the benefits of yoga as well, in that yoga, as well as having the physical benefits, also has... that kind of away from screens,
yeah.
Helping, like we were saying like last week, went about kind of decluttering our minds. And I saw actually on YouTube, there's the 30-day yoga challenge, how just to get started with Adrienne, I think her name is, on yoga, which I started doing. And they're only short, they're only like 10, 15 minutes.
You can
and
do
I can't
that,
be
can't
doing
you?
A whole
yeah.
hour
oh,
on my
no.
own. In my weird pyjamas
oh, no.
with a wedgie, you know. It's just not going to happen.
The wedgie is I mean, there are worse things than a wedgie, but a wedgie's an awful thing.
Yeah. But I never really thought about yoga as being beneficial for sleep.
Yeah.
I kind of saw it as kind of a stress relaxer, but kind of hitting two birds with one stone there in, like, the movement, the stretching,
yeah.
Massages all, like, your different organ parts, different postures that they
it
actually make you
your
do.
It massages your organ parts?
Yeah, like, there were certain positions where it was, like, massaging your liver.
Oh, wow.
And then another one that, like,
liver
kind
massaging.
Of... there was, like, kind of... You were rolling about on your spine, which is probably not great for you, but...
It's all right, it's all metal.
Different parts of your spine attached to different parts of your nervous system.
Yes.
So then that was kind of like shutting, you know, just kind of switching off all like the kind of stress switches on each... Yeah, I just...
Clever.
I just thought, oh, I never really thought about that, but that was one of the things that came up in the research that I looked at too, yoga.
Another few things that have come up is those tactics for when you are tired.
Yeah.
Because actually it's having that kind of thing, like if you've had a
what,
poor night's
sleep... Anticipating it.
Yeah, making sure you get outside and you get some fresh air, that can really, really help. Have your quick fixes, have your batch cooks ready, have your frozen meals, have your things, your store cupboards stacked with the lifesavers so that you know when you're knackered, you've got your things you can grab. For me, jacket potato and baked beans.
I mean, the Iceland meals, yeah? I think really work. I know when I'm on night shifts that if I have, before I go deep down, and I know it's going to hit me for about 5 days, even afterwards, if I know I've got those meals, I've got something. I don't have to do any washing up.
No, yes. And have a great breakfast. If you're knackered, a big bowl of porridge, scrambled eggs, baked beans, bacon, mushrooms, fill yourself up with fuel. Because if you can keep hunger at bay, you're not going to hit the high trigger snacks. Also, don't go full in on the caffeine. Drink lots of water. Mm. It will keep you more awake than the caffeine will.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you know about like the exercise thing? I just found my notes. I knew it was here somewhere. But the National Sleep Foundation was saying about exercise and how 83% of vigorous exercisers say they snooze well compared to 56% of non-exercisers.
Yeah.
And so it kind of reaps into the activity, helps promote these healthy hormones and chemicals within our body, which I think that's where we top into the managing the cortisol levels, the dopamine.
Yeah.
Dopamine's like one of these hormones that kind of, it's like the reward, the treat hormone. So when you do something that it likes, like when you eat a cake, it's like, dopamine, I like it.
Yes.
And so then you want more and more of it. So then it's kind of finding the dopamine hits in other ways.
It's not food related.
Yeah.
I could tell you a very interesting fact, but it's sexual and I'm not sure it's appropriate about sleep. Should I not?
I don't know where. My mom's listening, so
no.
Would you say it to her face?
Yeah, a man secretes a hormone when they've had sex that makes them sleep. So men will sleep better after sex than a woman will. Just got to share that with you. I read that. So they have a man is more likely to go to sleep straight after sex because this hormone's released. We don't have that hormone.
There
Claire's mum, would you mind?
So many things that I could ask, but I'm choosing not to.
Yeah, Claire's mum wouldn't mind me asking that question. It's just very interesting because I think men and women are different. And that when I read that, it showed that their hormones were different as well.
Well,
we're grown-ups, we can't talk about sex.
Can we?
Yeah.
What is it?
Oh, gosh. don't know.
Oh, dear. So the sleep thing. Yeah, it's... I think that every one of us is secretly wanting to have more sleep. I don't think
there's
there'll
no
be
secret
any...
about my wanting for sleep.
Yeah.
I am broad, proud, proud, loud. I cannot wait till my kid actually goes to sleep. I begged her the other night. I cried. She woke up at 9 o'clock in the night, didn't go to sleep till 5 a.m.
Yeah, but
I looked at her and I said, Daisy, why don't you want to sleep? Sleep not fun. No, Daisy, sleep is lots of
sleep
fun.
Sleep is essential.
Sleep is essential.
The thing is, at least you have a reason. There's nothing worse than when you awake at 1, 2, 3, 4, you're looking at the clock overnight and you're thinking, but today I have time to sleep.
Yeah,
why are you not coming
there?
I have no children who are screaming. I am in a lovely comfy bed. What is the issue? There's nothing more, drives me crazy. But you know how we always bang on about like this fascination, and I think what I found really interesting using, you know, whether it be your Fitbit or an app or something like that, but get fascinated about, well, how much REM sleep am I having? How much deep sleep? And there are so many apps that are free that you put your smartphone
next to you
on your pillow that measures it, or you wear like one of these devices or your iPhone or whatever, and just have a look maybe over a week or so to see what is the picture. And I've tracked this now for about 3 years, so I've seen when my weight was different, when I was drinking, when I've been not drinking, and so I've started to kind of see. I mean, Fitbit now has this thing where like it gives you a sleep score. It's very high to get excellent. It's like 90 out of 100 is excellent. I've never had excellent.
No.
But I'm starting to see, I'm taking a month off night shifts right now.
Good.
And trying to have more than 6 hours sleep every night at roughly around going to bed at the same time. And the impact in the last 3 weeks has meant I've gone from having 60s in my score to teetering around the late 70s and 80s. So I can physically see the difference
better.
And I'm starting to slowly lose a little bit more weight than what I was. So, and that is just from my quick observations, a sample size of one, but having that knowledge, having that information handy to me is just another tool in my weight loss, right?
Yeah, and I think that's this article that I've been reading from today is on the Slimming World website. You can also find it in your local group, but it's just quite reassuring, isn't it? I like a bit of reassurance from science.
We all want more sleep, there's no doubt about it, but how much can we make it a priority? Maybe right now, if you've got a two-year-old, you can't do much else about it, but maybe you can have a nap. I don't know.
Yeah, just thinking
of
selling
something
her.
That you're doing? Yeah. Shut up, you Wally. But you know what you were saying about, well, when it comes to 8, 9 o'clock and she is finally asleep, stop watching telly.
I go to bed.
Go to bed.
I mean, I don't see my husband, but that's fine because I'll see him when she's old. It's okay, but right now my sleep is so paramount to me. I love my bed, and I think that's a really important thing. Is your bed a little haven? Because mine is. It's beautiful, it's huge.
Last year I spent most of the year on the road in hotels doing carpet picnics from the supermarket around the corner. This year I made it a bit more a priority to be
in your bed
in my own bed, and I've enjoyed being in my own bed so much more. Take these things for granted.
I invested in a very expensive mattress. That was a game changer for me. Having a really good bed that gave me quality
nice
sleep.
Pajamas.
Do you know how many pairs of pyjamas I've got?
Don't know.
79.
No, you haven't.
Swear to God.
What, you counted them
all? Yeah, because I'm moving house, aren't I? So I just had to go through all my clothes.
What would Marie Kondo say about you?
Well, do you know what? I'm very proud of myself. I do currently have 79. Got it down to 12. They're all going to charity.
79. How do you even get that? Like, do you live in them? Are they basically your clothes?
So when I get home, bra off, hair up, makeup off, pyjamas on.
Right.
And I wouldn't wear the same, like, one night on, they're in the wash. Couldn't wear them again. No. And they have to match.
Things that we learn about you on this podcast.
No, well, Daisy's the same. Daisy's got 27 pairs of pyjamas and she's only two. Yeah.
I can see why you're getting a new
house.
But
my husband doesn't have one pair. He sleeps in his boxers. I can't have cold shoulders. Like, I have to have a covered shoulder at night, otherwise I can't sleep.
And this is probably why Anna doesn't sleep. Because she's too busy worrying about whether she's got a shoulder covered up.
No, if I've got a shoulder covered
whether
up...
Whether she wore last night's pyjamas twice.
And the duvet cover and pillows have to match. I couldn't sleep well if I had like an odd pillowcase that didn't match the duvet cover. Got too much time on my hands, clearly.
I have learned over the years to accept to sleep wherever I need to. Be it on... I've slept on the floor of airports.
Yeah.
I've slept on benches, you know, in train stations. I sleep on the same sofa at work on my lunch break at 1 a.m. I'd always take my eye mask because I'm so relieved to not have to look at a strip light for an hour.
Yes.
And I have my little blanket with me and a little fold-away pillow. And I sleep on a sofa in the corner of the office. And I've just learned that when you need sleep... Stop fighting it.
Yeah.
Stop trying to make the situation completely perfect and this and that and the other. Just do it.
On that note, just do it.
Just sleep.
Just sleep.
Which is probably right now, if you're listening and you're an insomnia and you're screaming at us, say, but I can't. But you know what? If you are genuinely struggling, go see the doctor.
Yeah. Whale music really helps me.
Whale music.
Seriously?
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there, isn't there?
There's a lot.
When you type in sleep into the podcast app, when you're probably listening to us, I actually did a thing about this binaural sound, this kind of 360
yes,
sound.
Yes, you were saying.
And there's actually something called Radio Bird Song, which is in as a podcast now, and it's just birds, like you're hearing behind us right now.
Just tweeting.
Tweeting for like 25 minutes on a loop.
I
whatever works,
that's
right?
How I used to get Daisy to sleep.
Yeah.
Bird song.
But on a serious note, if you are struggling with this, talk to your doctor. Don't struggle alone, because we're kind of talking about the impacts of this, and it can be really serious. So, you know, the things that we're suggesting are for people who are not necessarily at such a serious point, but please do go see your doctor and talk about it with people. I think a lot of us struggle with our sleep, but we don't talk about it enough. So go and talk about it in your groups this week, consultants, talk about it with your members, because I think a lot of us probably struggle in silence when it comes to the impact that a lack of sleep really has. And it could just be that you share with somebody one of the tips that we've talked about today and it helps them go and get a better couple of nights sleep, and that's all we need. Everybody, all of us humans
need some sleep, apart from your two-year-old.
So anyway, that's
sorry to be a boring mother.
That's but you know what, I guess there'll be many people who are listening to this. You may be one who's thinking, that's me. So we all have our thing, don't we? But anyway, we are Slimming World podcast, food for thought. Thanks for listening. You can email us, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. You can connect with us on the Tinstagram. We are just at Slimming World Podcast. And we put nice little quotes and questions and things like that up there. So come and join us and see some photos of the madness of the places that we record and the things that we're up to. And occasionally we go live, Anna from her bed in her pajamas and me randomly wandering the Peak District is normally what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Have a great week.
Speak to you all soon.
Sleep well.
Yes.
And sweet dreams.
Good night.